This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 26th of January 2025. Now on the show.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ for Ham College. We had a bumper year in 2024 with over 100 foundation licence exams and over a dozen standard advanced course attendees and exams carried out throughout the year. It was our first year on our new premises at Wollaston Scout Hall, which has gone exceedingly well. Last year's advanced course had a 100% pass mark for the attendees that finished the course, which was a credit to both the students and the instructors. Well, that was last year, and now it is 2025. Some of our goals for this year include getting back on HF and getting our 2 metre and 70 centimetre information beacons back on air. We would like to add some small courses to our repertoire. If you've previously contacted us about running these type of short courses, we will get back to you soon. And if you haven't and want to volunteer, please contact us via our website. We have our first foundation course and exam just weeks away now, commencing on the weekend of the 8th and 9th of February, and then every 2 months through the year on the first weekend of each even month. The advanced and standard course will start on Tuesday night, starting on the 18th of March, and will run through to around October. If you're already a standard licensee, feel free to discuss with us where you might want to fit into a course to go that last mile to the advanced license. We typically spend the last 4 to 5 weeks on a bridging course from standard to advanced. We have spots still available for both the advanced and standard course and the first foundation course, but they are filling fast. If you'd like to book a seat in any of our classes, go to the Contact Us page of our website, www.hamcollege.org.au. Again, www.hamcollege.org.au. Thanks for listening, and back to you, Clinton, with the rest of the news.
Have you got your tickets in the Peel Amateur Radio Group's 2025 Mega Raffle yet? There are 9 prizes valued from $2,000. Details at www.parg.org.au. The annual Peel Amateur Radio Group Swap Meet will be held at the Mandurah Bowling Club starting 9 a.m. on Saturday, 15th February. Door prizes valued from $200 each. This is the biggest annual amateur radio event south of the river. The Mega Raffle will be drawn at 12 noon. It is the biggest amateur radio raffle in Western Australia. You can go to the PARG website for details, www.parg.org.au. Again, www.parg.org.au.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ, with an update on what we've been up to at the Northern Corridor Radio Group. We've been quite active over the past 6 months or so, carrying out some large maintenance activities on the masts and antennas. In particular, our newest acquisition, a 4-element 40-metre monoband Yagi and mast, the ultra-beam Yagi and mast, and the EME microwave station the club has been building for the past few years. In addition, we are now embarked on a refurbishment of the radio rooms and the meeting room. For the radio rooms, we're in the early stages of enhancing the functionality of the 2 radio rooms to bring the station back to a true multi-multi capable station, producing a regular maintenance plan for all equipment, fixing the stuff that's broken, and improving the ergonomics of the operating positions. More on this in following months. With the meeting room, we plan to give it a birthday, looking at replacing the couches and seats, as well as the 4 floor coverings. The walls also need some work, as does the ceiling. We're also now in the early stages of planning our trip for the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. We'll once again travel to Peruna Wildlife Sanctuary, taking tents, our trailer, with mast and tri-band Yagi and an array of wire antennas for the DC bands, and maybe a couple of beers. We have welcomed quite a few new members to the club in recent months, which is great to see. The club has a vibrant feel to it these days, which is making it a very pleasant place to be, and we'd welcome even more new members. Another club activity in progress is the sorting out of the valve bank to make it more accessible. Thanks to Ian and Lisa for taking this task on. In addition to the new members, we've also welcomed quite a few visitors from t'other side and also from overseas. A few of us met the team from Slovakia that recently activated the Cocos Keeling Islands. They were impressed with the club station, and we spent a nice morning with them quizzing them on earlier de-expeditions that various members of the team had participated in. The team made just over 100,000 contacts in 2 weeks on Cocos, working all modes and bands from 160 metres to 6 metres. In November, we had a successful car boot sale with many familiar faces turning up and many bargains snapped up by hams from around the city. So if you're looking for a cool club to join, with an endless supply of projects on the go, some of which actually even get finished, we welcome new members. We meet on Sunday mornings for a social get-together, and our monthly business meeting is on the fourth Sunday of every month except December, starting at 9 a.m. sharp. Well, that's enough from us at NCRG. We note that last week the VK6 news only took 12 minutes of airtime. Maybe now's the time for all the clubs in Perth to start providing a bit more content, eh? Be great to hear what the rest of the community is doing. Thanks for listening, and back to you, Clinton.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur licence test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications? The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3 p.m. until about 7 p.m. on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go, and who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So, the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3 p.m. until 7 p.m, and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5 p.m. until 9 p.m, we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code, or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3 p.m. every Tuesday, above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7 p.m, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTube newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqrsnet@gmail.com. That is cqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with a refurbished episode of Did You Know? Did you know that the WIA runs its DX award scheme and leaderboard online from its website at wia.org.au? Easiest way to find more details is to Google WIA DX Awards. The mainstay of the DX award scheme is the time-honoured WIA version of the DXCC award. DXCC is an acronym for Long Distance Century Club. In its most basic form, the DXCC award is an award for contacting and gaining a QSL card, physically or electronically, from at least 100 different DXCC entities. A DX entity is a country, or if the country has parts that are separated by more than 500 kilometres, a country may have more than one DXCC entity. An example of this is Christmas Island and Cocos Keeling Islands. These are both a part of Australia, but are separate DXCC entities for the purpose of the award. Other examples include East and West Malaysia, Greece, and the island of Crete. Before digital communications, DXCC was much harder to get and was probably valued higher than now. However, the challenge now is to go beyond that first 100 countries and gain DXCC awards on multiple bands with multiple modes. From a band perspective, there is an award for each single band you attain DXCC with, as well as 3, 5, 7 and 9 band awards. For modes, there are phone, that is that quaint old mode the old timers use with a microphone, CW and data modes. Data modes can be FT8, PSK31, RTTY, or any of the myriad of digital modes. A couple of years ago, the WIA also introduced the triple play category, where a country is only counted when you've confirmed it on SSB, CW and a data mode. Whilst the first 100 countries is much easier to attain now, there's no doubt that the highest levels, including the honour roll, for working all but 2 to 3 of every single entity, are still great and often lifelong endeavours. I managed to work my first 100 countries, but not quite get all of them confirmed in my first 12 months as a ham, but it did cost me a year of school that I had to repeat because the DXCC was more attractive than Year 11. In addition to the DXCC awards, there are also awards for working grid squares, work in the Antarctic, all VK call areas on HF and VHF, and working all continents. To claim an award, you used to need to carefully keep all of your QSL cards marking off on your paper log each contact confirmed, then providing a log of each entry used for your award, and have someone sign off on the fact that you actually have the cards. It would then go to the awards committee, who occasionally would gather to evaluate applications, ask for actual proof if they saw fit, and then you would receive your award in the mail. My first DXCC award, gained after about 30 years in the hobby, took around 12 months from sending off my application to receiving the award. I had to send about 4 cards to the committee with a stamped return envelope to check. Thankfully now, we upload our logbooks to the WIA awards site, then follow a simple process of checking logs against Log of the World and EQSL, and for hard copy cards, show a fellow WIA member registered for the award scheme my cards, and they hop online and tick them off. The process for applying for an award once you've attained the level needed takes 1 to 3 days, is largely automated with some manual oversight from the committee. As an adjunct to the award scheme, the WIA also maintains an annual challenge called the DX and Group Leaderboards. These programs use exactly the same process for submitting of logs and verification of contacts. In fact, if you don't tick the box to opt out of the leaderboard, you automatically go on the leaderboard when you submit logs for DXCC awards. The DX leaderboard is an annual challenge that pits individual operators against each other to work the most number of entities on the most number of bands and modes, including triple play, in a given year. There is also a category for the most grid squares worked. The categories are further broken down into an open category, a category for standard and foundation licensees, and a third category for foundation license operators only. The top 30 operators are displayed on a table on the WIA website, and the results are automatically calculated as soon as anyone uploads a log. I have to say, this challenge is a bit addictive. To run at the top of the ladder, you need a good station, a lot of time, a lot of tenacity and operator skill on all 3 mode groups. Having said that, the top standard and foundation entrants last year were both VK6s, as was the outright winner. That was in 2022. And the most grid squares worked category is something almost anyone can compete in, even with a very modest station. The group leaderboard is a category where anyone can form a category and anyone can join that category. The most popular of these by far is the club leaderboard. As part of your registration on the scheme, you can nominate the club you're a member of, only one per participant, and all individual scores are all also added together to form a club challenge. Last year, and I think the year before also, our very own Bunbury Radio Club won this award and continues to, including this year, with a significant margin on the runner-up. So, how do we sign up for this bucket of fun? Firstly, you must be a member of the WIA. Not such a bad thing. You get access to the QSL Bureau, you get a cool magazine every 2 months, and you contribute to the national voice for the hobby. If joining the WIA is not for you, the ARRL also has a DXCC award scheme, which is just as sought after, if not more so. It was the first award scheme. And Club Log also runs a leaderboard program that's also very popular and very similar in style, but not sponsored by your favourite ham business in Perth. So, go on. Join the WIA, upload your logs occasionally, get your club enthusiastic about it, and get the coolest wallpaper available for your shack, and make some noise.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Christmas Island and Cocos Island's de-expeditions. Beginning on the 19th of February, a group of seven hams and long-suffering ham widows will activate the 67th and 88th most wanted DXCC entities of Christmas Island and Cocos Keeling Islands, spending 2 weeks on Christmas Island and the last week on Cocos Keeling Islands. Call signs used will be VK9 X-ray uniform and VK9 Charlie uniform, respectively. Three of the team are from Perth, with the rest hailing from Germany. Equipment to be used will include Flex Radio 66 and 8600 transceivers and Maestro operating interfaces, Flex Radio PGXL amplifiers, a Yaesu FTDX with Rowaves PA1000 amplifier, and an ICOM IC7300 coupled to an SPE1K3 amplifier. Antennas chosen include a hex beam for 20 to 6 metres, a DX Commander vertical for 40 to 10 metres, a rhombic for 17 and 12 metres, a J-pole for 30 metres, a 5-element Yagi for 6 metres, and a vertical for the DC bands of 160 and 80 metres. The trip has been in a planning stage for around 6 months now, with as much gear as we dared now on a ship to the islands, and due to arrive before the end of January. The PGXL amplifiers were kindly loaned by Flex Radio, and were directly from the St. Paul's de-expedition earlier this year via the factory for a quick service. The Rowaves amplifier was also loaned by the manufacturer. All antennas are coming from Germany with the German operators and the radios, and the radios are loaned by the Australian distributor for Flex Comtech Radio. Other equipment used on Cocos Islands include gear left by Jayco, a VK6VY and Steve VK6SJ. QSL is via DL2AWG, both direct and via Log of the World. On a similar note, keep an ear out for Larry, Whiskey 5 Echo India Tango / VK9 Charlie, who will also be activating Cocos Keeling Islands in February from the 11th to the 18th. He's running in vacation mode and barefoot, but should be easily receivable in Perth. He'll also be in Perth as a visitor before and after his trip, so make sure you make him feel welcome if he pops up at a club or on air.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West linked repeater network and HF relays.
Foundations of amateur radio. For quite some time, I've operated a whisper or weak signal propagation reporter beacon on the 10-metre band. If you're not familiar with it, I've dialed the power right down to 10 dBm or 10 milliwatts. You'd think that this would be a fool's errand, but it was heard 13,945 kilometres away. Of late, the reports have been far and few between, despite the 10-metre band being quite active. Encouraged by a friend playing on 15 metres, I made the decision to change bands. At the moment, this is not a trivial process, though at some point in the not-too-distant future, hopefully before I need a Zimmer frame, I intend to erect a multi-band Hustler 6BTV antenna that has been in storage for several years. Before that occurs, since it involves all kinds of shenanigans, I went for a simpler option. Replace the 40-metre helical whip antenna with a 15-metre helical whip, something I can do without climbing on the roof. In case you're wondering, using an SG-237 antenna coupler, the 40-metre antenna tunes fine on 10 metres, but not so much on 15 metres. After pulling the replacement antenna from its hidey hole, I discovered that it was missing a tip. I don't recall if it ever had one. It came from the estate of a fellow amateur, Walter, Victor Kilo 06, Bravo Charlie Papa, now Silent Key. I took it on faith that it worked on the band that it was labelled with, and went looking for a way to close off the tip. In the end, I used heat shrink with a glue lining and sealed it off, folded over the tip, and used more heat shrink to keep it folded over. We'll see how well that works. I then unscrewed the 40-metre antenna from its mount and was frustrated that it would only come with the spring attached. Using a crescent and pipe wrench, I was able to unscrew the spring but discovered that the threaded stud that connects the two didn't stay in the antenna. Instead, it stayed in the spring, which meant that I couldn't attach my 15-metre antenna without breaking something. I remembered that I had another spring lying around, so I dug that out of storage. I really need to set up a part DB to keep track of where everything is, and attached the 15-metre antenna to the spring and screwed it back into the antenna mount, and I'm back in business. In putting away the 40-metre antenna, I lifted it up after removing the spring and promptly got wet. Litres of brown water came pouring out of the antenna. It turns out that the adjustable tip isn't sealed and, sitting on my roof for several years, managed to fill it full of water. That's through a tiny opening at the tip, in a country known for hot and dry. It's expected to be 40 degrees Celsius here today. It made me wonder if that water was why the beacon wasn't heard recently. The next step involved changing the beacon frequency. The hardware is a Zaktec 80-10 desktop transmitter, built by Harry, Sierra Mike 7, Papa November Victor. The software to change settings runs on Windows, and since my system crash in June last year, I've not had any Windows machines lying around. I went to the Zaktec website and discovered in the download section that there is a link to a webpage configuration tool written by Phil Victor Kilo 7 Juliet Juliet of Whisper.rocks fame that allows you to open a website, plug in your beacon, and configure it from any Chrome web browser. I was both astonished and delighted that this exists. I changed the beacon band from 10 metres to 15 metres and powered it up. One final step. As I said, for the last little while, my beacon has only sporadically been heard, so I set up a local monitoring system. It consists of a little computer connected to an RTL SDR version 3 dongle and the included telescopic dipole. Using a Docker container written by Guinea Victor Alpha 3 Golf Kilo Alpha, I monitor my own beacon. After updating the band from 10 metres to 15 metres, reports started flowing in. As an aside, the last time I did this, I built a custom Raspberry Pi image and had to change several things to start monitoring after a reboot. This time I used an inbuilt Docker mechanism, restart unless stopped, to launch the container. This means that I don't need to alter the system and I can add and remove containers as I need to. This is important because it's likely how some of the Bold Yak project will also gain functionality. I'm feeling rather chuffed that on my first day back as a human, after recovering from my first bout of COVID, I managed to move my beacon to 15 metres, get it on air, configured and transmitting with confirmation in the log. The only thing missing now is your signal report. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 26th of January 2025. It's Australia Day for most people. Most Australians are celebrating Australia Day today. I think 97%. Good enough for me. I call it Australia Day anyway. Today I'm looking for help with my computer still. Didn't get much response last week, but still looking for help. Anyone with Apple Mac laptop experience? It's a Apple MacBook Pro, and it keeps rejecting my emails. But other things are less important. I just want to get my emails sorted. If anyone can help me point me in the right direction to get some Apple Mac Pro work done on my computer. Nothing happened last week. I didn't get any calls whatsoever. Must be someone who knows how an Apple works. They're not the type that grows on trees. No, I had to pay a lot of money for this one, and money doesn't grow on trees. So there we go. There's nothing else for this week, go. No items for this week's broadcast, unfortunately. I'm running out of customers, so if you would like to have a look through your box and start the year off with a sale of all your pre-loved equipment, and also maybe a wanted or two, and we can press that into the in operation for next week. So if you would like to do that, please give me a call. Email to victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. I'll say again, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And until next we hear from anyone, cheers for now from Roy, vk6xrayvictor73.
Hi there. It's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that NewsWest is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.